Hello, and welcome to our service of worship today. I'm standing on the banks of the River Shiel, near Aharakal. And one of our Bible readings today takes us to another river a long way away, the River Jordan in the Holy Land. That's where John the Baptist was baptizing, and that's where Jesus went to be baptized. We'll hear more about that later. Now, I don't think the banks of the Jordan are quite this lush, but I do think the temperature is probably a wee bit warmer. Our call to worship today: ascribe to the Lord power and glory. Ascribe to the Lord the majesty due to his name. So let us worship God with our first hymn, which looks back a few days to the 6th of January, the date on which the church celebrates the visit of the Magi, the wise men, to the baby at Bethlehem. It's the season of Epiphany, the revelation of Jesus to the wise men, the revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles. And in the service today, we look at the revelation of Jesus at the beginning of his adult ministry. So, we look back and we look forward. Let us sing, as with gladness, men of old.
Let us pray. God of the ancient and the modern, of the wondrous and the mundane, of the known and the unknown, we enter your presence today with expectation to know you better, to learn with our friends and family, to experience your presence and to feel the assurance that in your hands all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. We come with questions in our minds, pondering thoughts in our hearts. Why is your beautiful world so teeming with life and potential in such a state that our own existence is at threat? How have we let such a thing come to pass? And why do so many profess faith and act as though their neighbours are enemies? How has the teaching of Jesus become so distorted that it has become a symbol for many for self-centred action? Where are you in all of this messiness? And when we are honest with ourselves, we know that we are part of it all. Our own decisions or failures to act protect the status quo and cause the harm that we lament. Forgive us, God of creation, and let your Spirit move in our lives, bringing fresh perspectives and renewed zeal and a desire to lift one another up to become a people with whom you will be well pleased. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reading from Luke chapter 3 from verse 15. People's hopes began to rise, and they began to wonder whether John perhaps might be the Messiah. So John said to all of them, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is much greater than I am. I'm not good enough to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He has his winnowing shovel with him to thresh out all the grain and gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the chaff in a fire that never goes out." In many different ways, John preached the good news to the people and urged them to change their ways. But John reprimanded Governor Herod because he had married Herodias, his brother's wife, and had done many other evil things. Then Herod did an even worse thing by putting John in prison. After all the people had been baptized, Jesus also was baptized. While he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear Son. I am pleased with you." Amen. Thanks be to God for these words.
About 30 years on from the meeting of the two pregnant women, Mary and Elizabeth, the two babies, Jesus and John, now adults, meet again. Have they met in between times? We don't know. The Bible says nothing about John after his birth and naming until he appears baptizing in the desert. Since his father and mother were both elderly when he was born, it's often assumed that John was orphaned at an early age and raised by others, possibly by a religious community. We do have a couple of incidents from Jesus' childhood. His presentation in the temple when a few weeks old, the family fleeing to Egypt, again when he was very young, and returning to Galilee, to Nazareth, after Herod's death. And then Jesus' visit to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old. After that, scripture is silent until Jesus comes to be baptized by John. John is exercising a powerful, passionate ministry, calling people to repent, to turn back to God, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, to wash away their sins. The people are excited, expectant. For so long, the voice of prophecy has been silent in Israel. The land and people are under the yoke of yet another foreign power. Yet here, at last, is another prophet. Could he be the Messiah? No wonder crowds are flocking to John. He was a celebrity, the celebrity of his day. They might have to travel out of town into the desert region to see and hear him, but couldn't miss out on this. The Gospels tell us that the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, including tax collectors, soldiers, Pharisees and Sadducees. All this attention could easily have gone to a person's head, could have led to them basking in the glory and making use of it to promote their own advancement. But John doesn't waver. He's focused on his calling to prepare the way for the Lord, and clearly states that he is not the Messiah, and that one more powerful was coming, coming with the power of the Holy Spirit. John had also been told that he would identify the chosen one by seeing the Spirit descend on him. That's how he would be revealed. The psalm we heard earlier tells of that one, of his glory, power, splendour, holiness, majesty. The Lord who sits enthroned as King forever. This same Lord who chose to become small enough for us to see, for us to cope with. Who became incarnate and for 30 years lived in an obscure village in an obscure part of the Roman Empire, working with his hands to earn a living. These were not wasted years. They were years of preparation for Jesus himself, years in which he learnt much from his earthly parents, from Mary and Joseph. Also years when he came to know his heavenly Father and the work to which he was being called and how he was being called to achieve it. When the time came for Jesus to start his public ministry, he didn't miraculously appear in Caesar's court in Rome and shout, "I'm taking over!" He didn't turn up in the temple or Herod's palace and get the government working properly. He didn't even go to John the Baptist and say, "Move over, I'm in charge now." Or even, "Thank you for all your work. You can step aside now." No, Jesus joined the queue of people waiting to be baptized by John. Jesus approached John as just one of the crowd, seeking John's baptism. He joined the queue, and when his turn came, Jesus entered the water of the River Jordan and faced John. The two men meet. The one who before birth was chosen to prepare the way of the Messiah, and the one who is the Messiah. The acclaimed prophet and the insignificant rural craftsman. Sometimes Jesus' baptism is seen as a formal act of commitment to the work ahead, but it is far more than that. The people entered the water of the River Jordan with their sins and emerged from it on the other bank, having left their sins behind. Unlike the others in the queue, Jesus entered the water without sin. He entered it without sin, but emerged with it with all the sins of mankind, which he had taken onto himself. He would eventually take those sins to the cross, where not just water, but blood would truly wash those sins away. Jesus' baptism was an event that took place at a particular time, in a particular place, but it has universal and eternal significance. God is not limited by time and space. The sins that Jesus accepted from the Jordan were not just those committed up to that date, but all sin for all time. Whatever sin we fall into today, tomorrow, next week, next year, Jesus has already accepted that onto himself in the Jordan and vanquished it on the cross. Jesus' baptism defined his ministry. Love coming humbly to save sinners. All sinners for all time. It is only after he had been baptized that anything happened to mark him out as any different from the person ahead of him in the queue or the person behind him. The Holy Spirit descends on him. The chosen one is revealed. John recognizes the Lord. The Father's voice is heard, saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The 30 years have not been wasted. Jesus has prepared well for the work ahead, and the Father is well pleased with him. Both John and Jesus would minister in parallel for a while, John becoming less prominent and Jesus more, both moving towards a death for the sake of the kingdom. The following that John had built up would largely transfer to Jesus. John's preparatory work had provided Jesus with a base to work from. Some of Jesus' first disciples came from John's group. John and Jesus. Very different roles, very different styles. Both listening and serving. Both part of God's plan. The forthright and passionate John. John who knew when he needed to stand back from center stage, who could be humble. Jesus, who saw where his heavenly Father had been working and linked with John and humbly received from John. Jesus who approached humbly as part of the crowd, but who would also speak forthrightly and passionately when required. Jesus who then, as now, relies on other people to help with his work. People with different gifts, different personalities, different styles. The Spirit that descended on Jesus is the same powerful Holy Spirit that is offered to each one of us, as varied as we are, as the individuals we are, to guide and strengthen us in working for God's kingdom, spreading the news that God says to each one, "You are my child whom I love." Will we also hear the words, "With you I am well pleased"? Amen.
Let us pray. God of love, in whose presence we find what it is to be beloved, we thank you for the expressions of love that we have witnessed in our own lives, amongst family and friends, neighbours and colleagues. For every time when we have known what it is to be accepted for who we are, not for someone else's expectation about us, we give thanks. For every time when we have known what it is to be forgiven, when we have done something that has hurt others, we give thanks. For every time when we have known what it is to be included and our fears of rejection proved unfounded, we give thanks. And while we give thanks, we also know that for each of us giving thanks, there will be someone whose experience is very different. We pray for those people for whom a sense of being beloved is a distant dream, devastated by abuse or spoilt by neglect, corrupted by indifference. And we lament with them the harshness of a world in which anyone feels unloved, unwelcome, or unimportant. God of love, into our communities flood a spirit of compassion that we might look out for and care for one another as equally beloved by you. into our nation flush out the hypocrisy that gives support to the wealthy while removing safety nets for the vulnerable. Into our churches descend with your presence that we might never forget that it is you we worship and serve. Hear our prayers offered in the name of Jesus, the Beloved. Amen.
Let us consider what we can offer in the service of God's kingdom. Our time, our abilities, our resources. Let us pray. We bring you only what is yours, Lord God, that you might use this offering and the giver for the building up of your kingdom and the glory of your name. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
In troubled times, when fears surround and life provides no solid ground, I will lift my soul and sing once more of a hope unshakable. I will recall the cross of Christ, one death for all to give us life. You will bring us safe beyond the grave by your love unshakable.
Alone, you're
Let us go about our daily lives remembering that each one of us is a child who God loves. And let us share God's love with the others we meet. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us, upon all who we love, and upon all God's children everywhere, today and forevermore. Amen.